Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
All right, rolling along, Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio. A lot of stuff going on. I misspoke just a moment ago. The baseball season starts not next week, but the week after. I know Ohtani's debut.
It's three weeks. It's not.
It's 2 weeks from today, isn't it?
No, it's the 28th.
No. I think the Dodgers are starting overseas. Yeah, the Dodgers. Ohtani's first game, I know this because it's going to impact the get-up schedule, which is why I had this in my head. Ohtani's first game, they're playing in Korea, right?
That's right.
And I believe that is 2 weeks from today.
So that's March the 21st. I'm just making sure that's right because they have to play so much earlier for their travel purposes.
Right.
That's right.
I think it's 2 weeks from today.
That's right.
How about that, Bubba?
It's 6:05 a.m.
Yeah, okay. But that's my point.
But then they're going to keep playing spring training games after that.
Right. Well, that's it's happened before.
I know, right? Several
times. All right.
I know.
So it's a lot earlier than
there's
I thought.
That game is happening. Everyone else is 3 weeks from today.
Understood. But let the record show that, Bubba, in something of a condescending fashion, you corrected me, and I wasn't wrong.
You weren't exactly
I was right.
I mean.
The baseball season starts 2 weeks from today. You said 3 weeks. It is actually 2 weeks. Cam, I'd like you to cut that up and bring it back so we can hear exactly how it sounded. And you tell me Bubba was not being dismissive.
I did tell Bubba to correct you because I also thought that he was on point with when exactly it started. Obviously, opening day, the big opening day itself is three weeks. But
the big opening day has like a thing of, I mean, you're not even old enough to remember the big opening day, right? When they used to have a parade in Cincinnati and everything else.
Yeah, well,
the
big opening day, when did they do that?
Has not existed in a very long time. First, it was everyone opened on a Monday. Then there were some games on a Sunday. Now we're going to play in other countries. Now we're going to play the opening games while there are still spring training games going on. Now our team is going to play regular season games and then come back and play spring training games. Don't tell me when the big opening day is. The season starts 2 weeks from today. Greeny was right. Why is it so hard to just acknowledge that?
Because initially you said it was next week, so.
And then I corrected myself. You didn't correct me then. Let the record show when I got it wrong.
There were like 2 seconds left in the segment.
Is this or is this not an accurate statement? When I got it wrong, you didn't say anything.
Well, there was no chance.
When I got it right, you corrected me. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page here.
There were 2 seconds left in the segment.
No, but my point
is, got it wrong.
We then had a minute and a half between then and the next time we were going to come on the air. I was off the air. You could have just gotten in my ear and said, oh, by the way, Greeny, you had that wrong. You chose not to correct me.
Well, we heard Hembo correct you.
I don't think you did.
Bubba, how many home runs did Eddie Matthews hit for the Braves?
493.
493, unfortunately.
I'm glad you got your daily baseball.
I'll be at opening day on Thursday, March 28th, the real opening day. That's all I know.
It's when the MLB season starts.
Yeah, I mean, that what they've done to opening day is really. Look, I try and straddle a line here. My biggest fear is becoming an old fart when it comes to sports. Because that's the day I'm no longer good on any of my shows. Like, I don't want to. There are lots of people, particularly those that I read, who I used to enjoy their perspective and now have just become old farts. Now, all they do is talk about how much better things used to be. And I will tell you, because I'm sort of in the middle age-wise or at this point when it comes to sports fandom on the older side than most people, I get tired of that. I'm like, okay, we get it, man. You liked that better. Move on. The world has. And I really fight being that guy. Like, for example, we did a nice section in the book that we have coming out, Got Your Answers, which will be out this fall. Was it my top 10 or top 5 things about sports that I miss?
Top 10. You did a top 10.
Top 10 things that used to be in sports that just aren't anymore. A book like that is the perfect place to express that opinion. Here are the things that I miss. And those of you who are my age, you can sit around and feel that way too. Remember when there used to be 3 to make 2 and that kind of stuff in the NBA? The Cam doesn't even know what I'm talking about. That's fine. But I don't want to turn on the television in the morning and watch for 2 hours, or turn on the radio later in the morning and listen for 2 hours to me or anyone else complaining about how much better things used to be. So I try really hard not to do that. So, like, I'm literally looking at a topic bar on our screen that says MLB opening night on ESPN. But the simple fact is that there will have been regular season games played on another continent before what we're describing as opening night. And the tradition of opening day never involved night, because every single team would play at the same time on the same day. Cincinnati would have a parade. And it was like a big deal, like the start of the baseball, the first day of the baseball season. It's hard to explain, if you're not old enough to remember it, how it felt. And now that it has been piecemealed and all that kind of stuff, it just doesn't feel the same way. Now, that doesn't by definition make it worse. That's what I need to keep reminding myself. The fact that Shohei Ohtani is going to play his first game as a Dodger at 6:05 in the morning on ESPN 2 weeks from today, some might look at that and be like, how cool. That's like a really different thing. I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to get up really early and watch that. I'm a Dodger fan. I'm just a baseball fan. Whatever the case, I don't even know who they're playing. Who are they playing?
San Diego.
I'm you know, whoever it is. I'm
you
a
know
fan
what's
of the
crazy
project.
Is they're yeah. playing on Wednesday and Thursday. So it's 2 weeks from yesterday. So
No, but it's our time. It's Thursday, right?
No, they're playing two games.
No, I understand that. But the first one, I believe, is Thursday. Well, whatever. This is when I believe it's been told. The reason I know this is because it's going to impact the get-up schedule. That game is not going to end before we're supposed to go on the air.
It says Wednesday, 6 a.m., and Thursday, 6 a.m.
Okay, fair enough.
So you actually were wrong.
You're choosing, in the middle of this completely other thought, this is when you're going to correct me. Like, you've had all this time to make this point. See, the passive aggressiveness.
I just found this out. I just looked it up.
Of these two guys. It really upsets me. But I'm making an entirely other point here.
But this exercise is actually making your point that it's taken four sports fans 20 minutes to figure out what
when
opening
the season
day is.
Starts. That's actually right. It just took four people who are not only passionate sports fans, but work, but actually whose show is going to be preempted by the game. It took us this long to figure out when that's going to happen.
All these games we're talking about are all on our network.
That's
too.
Exactly right. So my question is, is that in and of itself a problem? Maybe the answer is no. That's what I have to be open-minded to. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm 56 years old. So if you're listening to this conversation and you're 26 years old or something like that, you don't remember what I'm talking about. So you're not comparing it to that. This setup probably works just fine for you. Hey, I'm a huge baseball fan. I can watch these games really early in the morning on Wednesday and Thursday, and then I can watch the game that's Sunday night that they're calling opening night, and then the next day I can watch my team play. I love baseball, and I can watch all these
games. I mean, I would say I'm not opposed to the 6 a.m. 6 a.m. for Los Angeles, San Diego seems a little questionable.
It's 3 a.m., right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the teams that, the fans that want to watch this game have to stay up into the middle of the night to do
that
it.
That seems a little odd to me. I don't know.
So that actually does bring up a whole other question. If you're a normal person, a person with a normal job, like you arrive at work somewhere between 8 and 10 in the morning, like that's, I don't know what percentage of Americans work 9 to 5 anymore, but if you just have a normal job and you don't work in this business, but you're a baseball fan and you want to watch that game, is that an early morning or a late night? Are you staying up and watching it? Or are you setting an alarm for 3 a.m. and watching it then? That's my question. Are you watching it as the end of one day or the beginning of the next?
I mean, you know my schedule.
No, but you wouldn't watch it. You would just, in the morning, read the notes.
Yeah, but we're not doing your schedule.
Yeah.
We're saying, imagine you work 9 to 5.
I mean, this game is perfect for the schedule, though.
No one's listening to you today.
Is it possible?
All three of us.
That on a show in which the actual name after the hashtag is Greeny, that anyone else with a hashtag next to their name can listen to Greeny? I'm trying as hard as I can
I'm understanding what you're saying.
So
what's
the answer?
9 to 5. The game's going to go from 3 essentially to 6 a.m. You're basically not sleeping at all. I think you got to go to bed early and wake up at 3.
Yeah.
Or are you just living without the night's sleep that night? Like Stevie, my son Steven, in Prague for the Jets Monday night opener against, the Rodgers, which we all remember how that turned out. But because it was I mean, in and of itself, it was the biggest game the Jets had played in, I guess, in his lifetime, or certainly his conscious lifetime. He stayed up through the night. He did not sleep. He just, because the game started at whatever time it was.
When's the last time you pulled an all-nighter? Have you done so since college?
I don't think so. I don't think, I mean, not for work reasons, ever. I'm very sleep-focused. I'm very sleep-centric, so I have not. I'm trying to think of the circumstances. Here's the circumstances in which I would pull an all-nighter. If the Jets are in the Super Bowl, and for whatever reason, ESPN tells me, we no matter what happens, you can't do get up from wherever that is the next day. We have to have you back in New York. I fully understand. Like Orlovsky, God bless him, the last, I want to say, 3 years in a row, has covered the Super Bowl, been at the Super Bowl, done varying degrees of work on the Super Bowl itself, gotten on a red eye, flown back, and done our show in the morning. And he by no means does he have to do that. He does it because he is a mensch and he is dedicated to the cause. I would do that if the Jets were in the Super Bowl. Like, if let's say the Jets, you know, I've always told my kids, and God willing, my mom is still with us, you know, we're all go. If the Jets ever play in the Super Bowl, we're all going. And if I have to be back in New York, like, I'm in a perfect world, ESPN would say, okay, great, we'll set it up. You can do get up from wherever it is the next morning. In a world in which I couldn't do that, I would pull an all-nighter for that. That might be the only thing I could do.
Yeah, mercifully, we don't have to worry about that ever happening.
Well, see, now that's just a nasty thing to say. Look at Brandon. Like, of all the things that have been said here, that was really mean. You're telling me that you believe, if you had to assess the odds that the Jets will play in a Super Bowl whilst I am still employed by ESPN, what would the odds, the seeing green boost on ESPN bet, what would it be?
25-1.
25-1.
25-1. Pretty long.
Well, I've been at ESPN since 1996. I've been at ESPN now. It'll be 28 years this summer. How long do you think I've got? How many more years do you think I could do this job?
I think you could do this job for 8 or 10 more years if you really, really wanted to.
Only 8 or 10 more years? You're telling me I couldn't do this job past the age of 64?
You could do this job past the age of 64, but I assume at that point in your life you won't want to do
that. Why are you making that assumption?
I think you could do the job. I think you could do the job longer than that, but you
people in this industry cling to this stuff like the, you know, that visual you always see of someone who's like going to fall off a cliff and that just their little fingers are hanging on, or fall off a roof and their fingers are just kind of hanging on. That's how aging people who do what I do for a living hang on to their careers when they turn 64. They don't walk away because they've had enough. I'm not asking you when I think I'll be done. I'm asking you when the world will think I'll be done.
Okay. I'll still say 25-1.
Bubba, will this ever happen? Will we ever have to pull an all-nighter to watch the Jets play in the Super Bowl and me still do get up and greenie the next day?
Yeah, I think you got to have faith. I think it'll happen not only in your lifetime, but I think in the ESPN lifetime.
I mean, it was 1969. It has been
They've had a couple of chances.
It was 55 years. January 12th, it was 55 years.
It hasn't been just a complete abject disaster.
I mean, well, 55
recently
years.
Has.
How has
long.
It not been a disaster?
They have the longest current streak on any of four major sports of not making the playoffs.
The whole continent.
Sure, but I mean, there have been teams who have not even they've been to the AFC Championship game. That's as close as you can get.
13 years ago.
Are there teams who existed
more recent than the Cowboys have been?
Well, they've been to the championship game, but there is no team.
That's as close as you can get.
There is no team in any sport that has gone longer without making the playoffs.
I understand.
Than the Jets have.
That's not great.
No, that's not great.
But you can turn around things pretty quickly.
And yet we never do. And yet it literally never happens.
Well, if Woody follows Evan Cohen's rules, he should be all set.
That's exactly right. If we just stop paying a lot of money for bad players, everything would be great. We've just looked at it backwards. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. Quote today at Progressive.com.
Wow. Okay. And how are your trivia skills?
This is Sneaky Himbo Trivia.
Regular sneaky or extra sneaky?
Go.
Group trivia. I am looking at a list. A list of coaches that beat Nick Saban at Alabama multiple times. And there are five of those guys. And you're going to give me all five coaches that beat Saban at Bama more than once.
At Bama. So games at LSU or, in theory, Michigan State don't count.
Or in the NFL.
Okay. So beat Bama at Saban at least Twice. There were five, you said?
Not at home. You're just saying physically him coaching at Alabama.
Any game.
Nick Saban as Alabama head coach. Right. Home or road.
Okay.
Beat him more than once.
Beat him more than once.
There are five of them.
There are five of them.
The answer is next on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny, the podcast.
We need Jack out of the room. Greeny with you on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Jack just stands there yelling wrong answers at me and then trying to argue them. All right, we're going to do the trivia here in 30 seconds after this from ESPN Bet, which is now live as the official sports book of ESPN. ESPN Bet's the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all your favorite markets and bets, like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Is Sweet Home Alabama, because the question is about Nick Saban. Hembo, go.
I'm looking at a list of coaches that beat Nick Saban while he was at Alabama multiple times. There are five such coaches, and you are going to give me all five coaches.
All right. There's only one that I am 1,000% certain of, guys. So let's just get, for the record, we have been talking throughout this break, and we are struggling. So it is a remarkable testament to him that it is this hard to come up with these answers. The only one I'm 100% sure of is Urban Meyer. Meyer definitely beat him at Florida and definitely beat him in the first ever playoff at Ohio State. So we're good going with Urban, right?
Yep.
Okay, we're going to say Urban Meyer.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer went 2-2 against Nick Saban at Alabama.
So, but that's the only one I'm totally confident of. Was Gus Malzahn the coach when Cam Newton was at Auburn?
I'm worried he wasn't.
I can think of two Auburn wins over Saban. One is the kick six,
yep,
and one is the big comeback when Cam, Alabama was killing him, and Cam brought Auburn all the way back and won. The question is, was the same person the coach of Auburn for both of those games? And if so, who was it? Was it Gus Malzahn?
I feel like yes. I just don't know when he got there.
Me neither. So we're really struggling here. Could Kirby Smart have beaten him twice? Kirby Smart definitely beat him in the national championship game. Did he ever beat him in an SEC championship game?
I can think of two losses. That's what I'm struggling with.
I feel pretty good about Hugh Freeze. I know I was wrong yesterday with
Hugh Freeze is like the sneaky one, right? He was the coach of Mississippi State when was
Mississippi.
What did I say?
State.
Yeah.
He was coach of Ole Miss.
Dan Mullen was Mississippi State.
Right. All right.
I mean, if we want to go, I mean, I'm fine waiting if we can think of someone else.
No, but we can't. We don't feel that good about anybody. I don't feel good about Les Miles. I don't feel
I mean,
good
I know he beat him at least once.
Dabo didn't beat him in two championship games, did he? Dabo won two titles or three? How many titles did Dabo win?
I thought just two.
He definitely beat Ohio State in one of them.
Watson and Lawrence.
So did he only beat Saban once? They played in how many championships? Saban beat him once, and Dabo beat him once. I can think of those two games. Is there a third one I'm missing? Because Dabo definitely beat Trevor Lawrence beat Justin Fields in the championship game. No, Alabama did. Alabama did. I take that back. Ohio State won that game against Dabo. I don't think it's Dabo, guys.
All right, let's get him out.
Let's just go with Hugh Freeze. We can't take all day with this. We're going to say Hugh Freeze.
That's right.
Well, good job, Bubba.
In 2014 and 2015, Hugh Freeze beat Nick Saban.
We still have three more.
Yeah, I mean.
We don't feel good about Jimbo Fisher, right?
Do Jack and Brandon have anything or no?
Jack just keeps, for some reason, just yelling, like, Alabama, didn't Georgia beat Alabama in the SEC championship game this year? Which, no, it was the biggest game of the entire season, and they didn't.
You remember the whole Florida State not making it thing, Jack and Brandon? That was a big deal.
So they're no help
Who are you
today.
Next most confident in on
I'm
your
next
list.
Most confident in Malzahn, but that's not saying much based on this list.
I'm incredibly unconfident in Malzahn, but he actually is the answer to your question, so we're going to say Gus Malzahn.
That's right.
Okay. Woo!
Gus Malzahn beat Nick Saban three times, and none of them are the kick six game.
Who was that coach?
Who was the coach in the six game?
Gene Chizik. Oh,
that's whose name God. I couldn't
Excuse
remember.
Me. He was the kick six coach. He was not the Cam Newton coach.
Oh, okay. That was Gene Chizik. Gene Chizik, Parentelic, it was the name I couldn't come up with in the
I couldn't
break,
think of who you were. Yeah.
But I can picture his face.
So you I assume got, Gene Chizik is not right.
You've got three of the five.
Okay.
Three for three.
What about Les Miles?
That's one of the ones we're considering.
So we got Les, Jimbo.
So the year they played each other, Alabama and LSU played each other in the national championship game, and they had played earlier that year, and that was a big deal. And the game, and LSU won the regular season game. I think that still would have been Les Miles.
Isn't that when they won like 9-6 or something?
Yes, exactly right. And then they played each other again. So the question is, did Les Miles ever beat him another time? Or was that already Ed Orgeron, in which case Orgeron would be the answer? Because Joe Burrow definitely beat Saban in Alabama. That game I have active recollection of. So is it Orgeron or is it Miles? Because we don't have a better guess. You got to figure the coach of LSU's got a chance. Orgeron definitely beat him once. The question is, did he beat him twice, or do you want to go with
Orgeron Miles. Was such a short time. That would be my only concern.
What
him.
Year did Orgeron become the coach? When did Miles, like
Orgeron was there for like 3 years, I think, and then they got rid.
Is that all it was?
He had like 1 year, and then he won, and then after then he was gone, I think.
So he wouldn't have beaten Bama twice. So do we want to go? Do we feel good about Les Miles? Could it be Les Miles?
Slightly better than Orgeron.
Yeah, I would go Miles.
All right, we're going to say Les Miles.
That's right.
Oh, yes. Oh.
Les Miles also beat Saban three times in 07, 2010, and 2011. You are 4 for 4.
Oh, my gosh. I did not think we'd get this
oh
far,
my
honestly.
Goodness.
Me neither. Now I want this. Like, I just wanted it to end, but now I want to get it right. I didn't think we would get to 4.
You are 4 for 4.
So there's no way it's Dabo Swinney, right?
Dabo, Kirby, Jimbo.
Oh, Kirby. So the book was always that his assistants
thing.
Never beat him, right? That was always the book. But Kirby, I mean, I can think of a game in which Kirby beat him. It was for the national championship.
I think, yeah, because I think Jimbo played him the most times and, like, always lost, right? I think that was...
Kirby?
No, Jimbo, I think.
Jimbo.
I think Jimbo was playing him a lot and would always lose.
I can think of one game that he beat him, I think, at Texas A&M. And then when Manziel beat him at Texas A&M, the coach was Kevin Sumlin.
Who do we feel best about among your remainders?
I think of the ones that we've mentioned, I think I feel best about Kirby Smart.
Let's gauge the room in Bristol. Where do you guys fall on who you guys have remaining?
I'm between Kirby and Dabo, but it's...
I mean, all Kirby Smart.
There's so many SEC coaches that could be in here randomly.
That we're just not thinking of.
Dan Mullen, Mike Leach.
But he lost so few games.
Yeah.
Like, he lost incredibly few games. I didn't think of Lane Kiffin. I don't think so.
Ooh.
I don't think so.
I think I could be wrong.
We
go,
Where's Paul Feinbaum when you need him?
What if I told you?
I'm saying I'm going Dabo.
What if I told you that you have
that one of them is the right one?
Yeah,
yeah, we have the right.
You
names.
Have yeah, so
the right thought. Name has been spoken aloud.
It's not like it's some obscure SEC coach right. that you know was at Vanderbilt
right.
or something.
So
like it's
Toss a coin, Kirby or Dabo?
I'm saying Dabo. Let's go Dabo.
Well, Dabo, see, here's the problem with Dabo. It would have to have been in a national championship game. How can we not remember that? Right? The question is, did Dabo win three titles or two? Because if he won two, he definitely did not beat Saban in...
All right, we got some news here. Nick, everyone's favorite trivia guy, says Dabo.
I think it is Dabo, now that I think about it, because... They beat Ohio State in the semifinals. I think
go with Dabo.
Right. I think he's right. We're going.
Oh, you're locking it in?
We're going with Dabo Sweeney.
The correct answer is Dabo Sweeney.
We got it.
Woo!
Oh, that's a big day. Oh, that is a big day for the home team. Oh, what a day. Look at
five for five.
I can't believe we did it.
I can't believe we got past one.
That is the great accomplishment maybe in the history of talk radio. Urban Meyer, Hugh Freeze, Gus Malzahn, Les Miles, and Dabo Sweeney are the only coaches to beat Nick Saban at Alabama more than once.
I am stunned.
Me too.
From where you guys started to there?
I love that Nick. Boy, that kid Nick, he's
what a closer.
A and a half.
He's a closer.
Yeah,
Mariano Rivera over here.
That was phenomenally well done. Okay, beautifully played. And the reason that we went here, as we all bask in the glow of that extraordinary victory, is I was fascinated by some of the things that Nick said. These are to Chris Lowe, right? Am I getting that right? These are an ESPN.com story with Chris Lowe?
Yes, who's the one who broke the retirement.
Broke the retirement. He's obviously got a close relationship with one of our reporters, Chris Lowe, who broke the story of his retirement. And now there are a variety of really fascinating quotes from Nick. Let the record show, I have a long, very, very good relationship with Nick. He's someone I've always really liked and admired. His curmudgeonliness, I think, I find charming. I know it's not for everyone, but I like it. And I always think in a sport where everyone says they want to do it the right way and most of the guys didn't, I thought he came about as close in an impossible situation to doing it the right way as you could do it and having the success that he had. And the success speaks for itself. So anyway, just so you know, I'm sort of hopelessly biased going in on the topic. But here are some of the quotes I found really interesting from Nick Saban. He said, I was really disappointed in the way that players acted after the Rose Bowl loss to Michigan. I want to be clear, that wasn't the reason that he retired, he means, but some of those events certainly contributed. You got to win with class, you got to lose with class. We had our opportunities to win the game and we didn't do it. And then showing your ass and being frustrated and throwing helmets and doing that stuff, that's not who we are and what we've promoted in our program. He then said separately, I thought we could have a hell of a team next year. And then maybe 70 or 80% of the players you talk to, all they want to know is two things. What assurances do I have that I'm going to play because they're thinking about transferring? And how much are you going to pay me? Our program here was always built on how much value can we create for your future and your personal development, academic success in graduating, and developing an NFL career on the field. So I'm saying to myself, maybe this doesn't work anymore, that the goals and aspirations are just different, and that it's all about how much money can I make as a college player. Nick goes on to say, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that's never been what we were all about, and it's not why we had success through the years. Further, he says, people wanted assurances I was going to be here 3 or 4 years, and it became harder to make those assurances. But the thing I loved about coaching the most was the relationships that you had with players, and those things didn't seem to have the same meaning as they once did. He said, I don't know if there's ever a good time to do it. I felt like my age was starting to impact a lot of things. The older you get, the harder it is to sustain it at the level you want and feel like you're doing a great job. So all of those are, each one individually, I read all of them because they're all fascinating. And they're all, I think, a glimpse into why I have so much respect for Nick. Because he's basically telling you the direction the sport has gone, while I'm not telling you it's the wrong one or that it's a bad thing, this is not what I do. And if I were 42 years old, I'm now putting words in his mouth. But if I were 42 years old, maybe I would try to adapt to this. But I'm 72 years old. I don't need this, and I don't want to do it the way it's being done now. Let them have it. And I think that is a really clear-eyed, extraordinary vision of the way things have gone in that sport. I'll say it again. College football being where it is at this moment is exclusively the fault of the NCAA. It is no one else's fault. If you believe college football has become the wild, wild west, if you believe that the combination of NIL and transfer portal have rendered the sport unrecognizable, that is exclusively the fault of A, the NCAA, and B, the coaches themselves. Let's talk about the transfer portal for a minute. You talked about Hugh Freeze. No, that's not why I got into a fight with Hugh Freeze. My fight was with...
Kirby. It was with Kirby.
But there was one other coach. Oh, it was Bo Ryan. It was a basketball coach, but whatever. Nothing ever struck me as more insanely unfair than coaches making very specific demands or rules about where their players could transfer to. So the Kirby example that I used, and he and I, whatever, I was very critical of him. And he came on. He was terrific about it. By the way, I like and respect Kirby Smart a lot. I said my piece about that situation at the time, and that was what it was. But anyway, what happened was the previous coach of the guy who wound up in Miami, the previous coach of Georgia, Mark Richt, had a rule that players that wanted to transfer out of Georgia, if they felt it wasn't in their best interest to be there for whatever reason, this is the one life they get, the one college career they get, the one shot they get, that if they felt they were better off transferring someplace else, he would support it. That was the rule. There was no rule in place restricting those things at Georgia. When Kirby took over, he immediately changed that. He changed the rule that made it very restrictive of where players could and couldn't transfer to. Well, whose best interest is that serving? How in the world is it, if your concern is for the kids, for the best interest of the players, of this young man maximizing what one little tiny one in a million chance he has of turning this game into something that transforms his and his family's life? Why? Who are you to put a restriction on that? I found it disgraceful, and I said so at the time. Anyway, the point of it is, because the rules were so ludicrously prohibitive and nonsensical and slanted completely in the favor of the coaches and the programs and against the players, with almost no exceptions for reasonable people, they had to go all the way to the other side. This thing went to the Supreme Court, and Justin Kavanaugh basically laughed at the NCAA. He read this stuff and said, wait, your rule is what? This doesn't make, there's no place on earth where this makes sense. I'm taking all the rules away. That's the NCAA's fault and the coach's fault. And the same with name, image, and likeness. There was a rule, I'm not making this up, in the NCAA rule book that stated that at certain given meal times, schools were allowed to provide bagels with butter to the players, but not with peanut butter, because that would constitute a different level of meal. What the hell are they doing? And because they weren't willing to be even remotely reasonable in letting players cash in a little, they wound up in the Supreme Court where they got laughed at, and now they've lost total control. So do I think the current system works? No. It's there are no guardrails. There are no rules. It is the wild, wild west, and it's unfathomable that this is where it is. All I'm saying is you don't blame the players for that. Don't blame the players for that. The players were never wrong in the first place. And if the people in power hadn't clung to that power in such ludicrous ways all that time, this would have found itself in a much more reasonable place. And you know what would have happened? Nick Saban would still be coaching today. Because he would have been fine with that. He would have adapted to a reasonable system. You know who else would still be coaching today? I will forever believe Mike Krzyzewski. I believe Mike Krzyzewski took a look at the situation and was like, what do I need this for? He was in similar situation. Mike Krzyzewski and Nick Saban are incredibly similar. And I don't mean as people, although I actually think they are a little similar as people, but they're very similar in stature and accomplishment and the decisions they made. At approximately the same age, Coach K looked at the situation, right? He was just over 70, right? 72-ish. And that's what Nick is. He looked in and said, this is not what I've done all these years. If this is the direction it's going, okay, you do it. I'm done. I've done my thing. I'm not going to change everything now. I believe that if Mike Krzyzewski was 40 instead of 70, he would have kept coaching. I believe if the situation had been changed to something reasonable, not something totally without any rules at all, he would still be coaching. And I believe that Saban would still be coaching. And if you, like I, believe that those sports are better because people like Coach K and Coach Saban are coaching, then this has been a change for the worse. So that's all I'm trying to say here. And I just respect the hell out of Nick for the way he said all that. Let me break briefly on that thought. It's Greeny. We're coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. I want to hear what you guys think about this here. We'll come back and react in just a minute on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio. So if you're just joining us here with the hashtag crew, I want to hear what you guys think. And Bubba and Cam, I'll start with you guys and then let Hembo take it. On what I just said, which is essentially, like, I have long been in favor. I have long been hugely in favor of collegiate athletes being allowed to be compensated and being allowed to determine their own best place. I'm not sure what the right wording for that is. I firmly believe players should be allowed to transfer under almost any reasonable circumstance in almost any reasonable way. That does not necessarily mean that I think that the way that the situations are currently structured, which is basically structureless, was the best solution for college football in particular. And as I said a moment ago, I blame completely the NCAA and the self-interested coaches for forcing this to wind up where it wound up. And I do believe it is the reason that some of the legends like Nick Saban have just said, this just isn't it for me anymore. And I think the sport is the worse for it. So, but as I said earlier this morning, I guard against old fartism. The last thing in the world I ever want to do is just be that guy saying, oh, look how much better things used to be. So you tell me, Bubba, what do you think of what I said?
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense. And I'm thinking right now of the other stuff that's happening of this kind of, it's not a mass exodus, but of we've seen a few different coaches, whether it was Halfley, who left BC and is now a coordinator in the NFL. Chip Kelly left as the head coach of UCLA to be a offensive coordinator of Ohio State. Saban retiring. And Halfley didn't necessarily say this, but Chip Kelly just yesterday explained why. And he basically said kind of similar stuff to Saban, where he's like, I kind of got sick of doing all the other stuff. I loved coaching. My favorite stuff was coaching. When I coached the most recent bowl game, I coached the quarterbacks, and I loved that. But he just was so fed up with all the NIL stuff and the recruiting and the boosters and all that stuff. And it's obviously only getting worse and worse every year. So I think, yeah, when it boils down to it, would Saban love to just coach kids and coach football? I'm sure he would love to. And I think Chip Kelly is the same, but I just found it shocking that, you know, a head coach would leave a prime school and to become an offensive coordinator. But these people are just thinking, look, it's just not the same as it was. And what I really enjoy doing is coaching football. I don't love all the extra stuff. And the extra stuff is becoming too much right now. And the main thing is coaching football. And that's what they'd rather do.
That's right. And I think that is a big part of this. But Cam, let's drill down even more specifically. Because the rules were always going to change. Do you believe there was a better place for this to have landed between what it used to be, which was the rigidity of the players couldn't get anything and they couldn't go anywhere. That's an overstatement, but let's call it that on one side. And what it is now, which is just the total wild, wild west. Would the best solution have been for it to have wound up somewhere in the middle? Or do you think this is actually the best way?
In an ideal world, yes, but we just don't know what that looks like because that solution hasn't been found yet. So I think it's hard to say what the best solution is because the highest minds in college football, coaches, players, administrators, and everything like that are trying to figure that out. Obviously, they're trying to balance this completely new reality with what they're used to, which is that rigidity. So hopefully you can get to an in-between spot. But Bubba had that stat in the Google Doc. You know, 21 coaches hired in 2018, and one of them is still at their current position. So that's not good for the sport. But I don't think the complete restriction of player movement and everything like that is good for the sport either. You know, you have all these older guys that are moving on, but you also have a guy like Jay Wright, who is 60 years old and moved on from his position. Jay Wright certainly could have coached another 10 years.
Yep.
There's so many examples of that, even guys that aren't into their 70s that are like, look, this is not what I signed up for, and it's not what I want to do anymore. So I think you don't want to have that where you have these legendary coaches moving on and the name recognition isn't going to be there anymore because these coaches are so legendary in the sport and they are the stars in a lot of ways in football and basketball. But it's on some level, obviously, for the players better because they're getting so much more access and ability to move and do what they want to do. So, yes, an in-between would be ideal, but we haven't found that yet.
Talk to me, Hembo.
Can I make an unpopular opinion?
Sure.
College football has never been better than it is right this second.
I don't know that that's unpopular. I don't explain, but I don't think it's that unpopular.
So it has never been better for the players, and it has never been better for the fans. Those are the two most important kinds of people. We have proof that it's never been better for the players because a record number of underclassmen decided not to declare for the draft. We had only 58 this year, which is the lowest in a long, long time. Well, why is that the case? Because there's money to be made in college football, of course, for some of those fringe draft prospects. Now, and because they can go wherever they want.
Right.
Which we've long decided has been a good thing that they can do now. For the longest time, they've been restricted. For the fans, the college football playoff expansion is going to be enormous. I'm not sure we would have gotten that if not from all the push in other places. The mega conferences are going to create an incredible TV product for the fans every single week. And I do think these things kind of go hand in hand. Nick Saban retiring now and Mike Krzyzewski retiring now and all the coaches that are retiring now makes sense because the job is different. You are no longer the head coach of a football team exclusively. You are now the general manager of a business, of a company, right? That's a totally different job. And Bubba made a good point in saying that if you just want to coach, well, you can't really do that and be the head coach of one of these big universities anymore. But as far as the players are concerned, and as far as the fans are concerned, I think the sport is in an astronomically better place than it used to be.
I agree with both of the things that you just said. Let me bring up a third collection of people, though. And I'm not in any way suggesting that this is whose best interest we should be concerned by. But the hardcore passionate fans of an individual team, meaning I'm not as much interested in the fact that now the playoff has been expanded as I am in watching my team play every week, every single year. And every year these rosters turn over what feels like 50%. Like this guy used to play on my team, now he's playing on that team, now he's on that team, and I know that it's just all the highest bidder. I'm not suggesting that person's interests should trump any of the things you just said. But is that in and of itself a problem?
I don't think it will reduce the popularity of the sport by 1%. The only thing that I could actually see reducing the popularity of the sport by 1% is the fact that the Nick Sabans and Coach K's and Jay Wrights and Roy Williams and fill-in-the-blank legendary coaches of the world don't want to be there anymore. Because college sports, at least men's basketball and in football, those are sports where those figures on the sidelines are the most recognizable people, the most recognizable figures. Like the living legends, you get more of those in those sports than you do other sports. And I think that there is going to be an unrecognizability in those areas. Seeing Kalen DeBoer wearing an Alabama hat is going to be weird,
right?
Just like it was weird seeing John Shire on the sideline. Now, is that a small price to pay for all of the rest of it? Perhaps. But that is one area of college sports that I will miss.
Yeah. I mean, the sport, they're just using football, but I guess you could use both equally. They are built on tradition. Like, tradition is a big part of it. And part of that tradition is stuff that gets handed down. Like, I don't know if this will wind up happening in your life, but it certainly happened in mine. I went to Northwestern. My wife went to Northwestern. Both of my kids went to Northwestern. Maybe someday their kids will go to Northwestern. Like, that's our program. That's our school. That's our athletic department. That's our football team. That's our uniform colors. There is an attachment that I think that is being impacted by this. But to finish it up, that is a small price to pay. In the big picture, I agree with you. The sport has never been healthier and probably never been better. We'll see you tomorrow, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.